Matthew Berry, Pod Vader. I am the Girly Man.
Let me see you in the 06010 Focus. Let me see you on the most popular fantasy podcast show. Focus. They bad it. Say naked. Matthew Berry. Talented Mr. Oro.
Pod Vader.
Never win the man's league.
Yes, we can.
What are you doing with these guys?
No wonder they won two podcast awards all around the world. Let's put it on.
First Monday of the 2010 season. Let's start things off, Matthew, with an email from Keith from the Bronx.
Okay.
Probably wasn't such a great night for Keith from the Bronx last night.
We don't know that. You're assuming.
I am assuming. He says, go Winged Beavers. Well, I guess the Winged Beavers might have gotten a victory last night.
Who knows?
TMR, congrats on Donovan McNabb.
Thank you.
You got to be excited about that. This ain't a football podcast, but you got to be excited about that.
I can barely catch my breath. I'm thrilled.
First and foremost, you know what Donovan McNabb is? Not Jason Campbell.
Not, well, listen. I'm on the side of the boat that says Campbell has not been the problem.
Okay.
They've changed offense coordinators. They've never given an offensive line. He doesn't have a lead wide receiver.
Right.
I think the Redskins have a lot of problems. I don't think Jason Campbell is one of the big ones.
Okay. Certainly not anymore.
That said, McNabb is a huge upgrade, and I think what McNabb does, in addition to obviously bringing, this guy's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, it prevents the Redskins from doing something stupid in this draft, like taking Jimmy Clausen.
There you go.
That's the exciting thing to me. I think they'll go offensive line.
Leave them hanging. Leave them hanging. We're going to record a football podcast this week.
Oh, okay.
Leave them hanging. Leave them wanting more. Always leave them wanting more.
Good God.
Really? So
I'm excited. Thank you, sir.
So back to Keith's email. In the Red Sox-Yankees game last night, there were 16 runs and 24 hits.
Right.
17 out of 18 batters reached base. That's everybody except for Jacoby Ellsbury, who went 0 for 5 with 2 strikeouts. So there can be no doubt Jacoby Ellsbury has earned the distinct honor of being named the very first Fantasy GOAT of 2010.
Fantasy GOAT.
Yeah, I think Ellsbury left something like 5 guys on base, too. And, yeah, I mean,
I like that,
day.
Keith from the Bronx. Well right. done. Well done. Good way to start things off. Let's get to it. Now, of course, Matthew, all the world buzzing about the big game last night. The Seattle Mariners prevailed over the San Francisco Giants 7-1. Why do they do? What's with this weird Cactus League tradition of one final game on Sunday?
I have no idea.
It's really bizarre.
Why don't we send a reporter out there to investigate? Why didn't Jason Gray get on that?
By the way, Ichiro Suzuki stole his 8th base of spring training in that game.
You think Ichiro Suzuki is like, I'm going to...
I do, actually. I think he's heard all the naysayers out there this spring. Oh,
I've been one of them.
He only stole 26 bases last year. I want to get some wagers on the board today, and I think this is one of them. Stole 26 bases last year. If I set the over-under at 33, would you wager on that?
No.
34.
No, because how many do you think he steals this year? Why don't you tell me how many you think he steals this year?
I'm continuing to push the number up. I think he steals 38, 39 minimum.
Minimum?
Yep. So I'm willing to put over under 37 on the board.
Why don't we make it a 40 then?
So
if you think he steals 38, 39 minimum.
Okay.
If you're saying minimum, then make it 39 and a half.
39.5?
Yeah, sure.
I'm feeling ballsy this morning.
Put it on the board! Put it on the board!
Put it on the board!
Ichiro Suzuki steals 40 bases this year. 4-0.
He has done it before. He's pretty much done it every year except last year.
Before we talk,
there's one year where he had a 30-something.
He's actually typically been in the 30s, so I'm sort of taking a chance here. He's only stolen more than 40 bases in a Major League season 3 out of 8 times, something like that. So, before we talk about last night's game, Matthew, quick history lesson for the kids out there.
Sure.
I want to give you 3 stat lines from last year's Sunday night game.
Okay.
All right. Mr. Jordan Schaefer, 2 for 3 with a home run.
Yes.
Mr. Derek Lowe, 8 scoreless innings, only 2 base runners allowed.
He was lights out.
Pretty much just that night.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Brad Lidge threw a perfect inning, which may have been the only perfect inning. So, you know, all by way of saying, don't get too worked up over what you saw last night. So having said that, Matthew, what did you see last night?
Oh, I'm selling Josh Beckett for 10 cents on the dollar.
Really?
I don't think I saw anything, you know.
I saw nothing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, Sabathia, who has traditionally struggled early on in the years, I thought pitched well up until, I think it was the sixth inning.
Yeah.
You know, where kind of the wheels fell off there.
He had good movement on his pitches.
Right. Beckett really had nothing going.
It just wasn't working for him last night.
He is traditionally also, speaking of traditions, he has not pitched well against the Yankees.
Okay.
I believe his career ERA against the Yankees is over 5.
Well, and obviously, you know, an exceptional team.
Right. So, listen, but I'm not worried about either guy.
What about Jabba?
Jabba sucks.
Okay, so you're not buying the going back to the reliever role.
No.
He's going to be a flamethrower again. Best setup man in the AL.
I don't have Jabba on any team.
Okay.
I have, I believe, 4 drafts left.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah. No, it's, whatever. The people I'm with aren't organized.
Okay.
What can I say?
That's a shocker.
Right. No. But I believe I have, well, I have one tonight. My two ones that I go back to Texas every year for.
Yeah.
We always do it by the book. And the original Rotisserie League Baseball book is that you do it the first weekend after the opening day.
Right.
So those are 3, and then there's one more that I think is going to happen. So, anyway, you know, but I'm not touching Jabba with a 10-foot pole.
Okay.
I don't have him on any teams, and I won't have him on any of the next 4 teams.
I mean, I think in an 12-team AL-only league, which that's what your league is, right?
Right.
I imagine he goes for a minimum of 6 and probably more like 8 or 9. I would stop at 3 or 4.
Right.
If I was even in there at that
yes.
point. Anything else? I mean, you know, nothing, you know, to me, nothing much.
I thought David Ortiz looked terrible. And I know it's whatever, it's one game.
Right.
I know he finished strong last year. I mean, not the great average, but the power came back.
Yeah, the power came back, but.
I don't know. I think they're going to have to bat him lower because he's one of those guys that just doesn't scare you.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know that there's much fantasy impact because if you got him, I don't think you'll get much for him.
Right.
But that's just a guy that I would not count on this year.
I would agree with you. Moving on, Matthew. It was a fairly newsworthy weekend.
It was.
Fantasy. So Mr. John Roush named the Twins closer. Ron Gardenhire changed his mind on the whole closure by committee approach.
Thanks a lot, Gardenhire.
Why did you end up getting somebody else?
I had Mahares and other guys.
So over under 20 saves for John Roush in the 2010 season.
I actually think over.
Barely. I think so, too.
If you'd said 25, I'd have said under.
Would you rather have John Roush or Jason Fraser?
I would rather have...
Because before this weekend, I would have said Fraser.
You know what? I would still say Fraser. I actually believe in Fraser. Okay. I believe Scott Downs, here's the thing, is that Scott Downs has literally come out and said, it's like, I don't want to be the closer.
Right.
I'm more comfortable in a setup role. I don't like being the closer.
Right.
So that doesn't give you a lot of confidence that you want to throw a guy out there that doesn't want to be out there.
Right.
Especially when he is such a good setup man and he's a lefty. So then you've got Kevin Gregg, who, let's be honest, is terrible.
Right.
So,
I don't agree that he's terrible, but okay. Go ahead and
continue
your point.
My point is that I think Fraser has a lot more job security than people may think he does.
That could be. By the way, and here's the other thing about it. The Blue Jays are not going to contend this year. The Twins are. So the Twins could still be a candidate to go out and get
Heath Bell
or somebody
else.
You know what I mean? Even if Roush is doing a decent job, they still might do that.
Right.
Just to strengthen their bullpen. Elsewhere, the A's put Coco Crisp on the DL to start the year, which is more than you could say for Jack Cust.
Right.
Who they cut. To go with the immortal Eric Chavez, Pod Vader grinning ear to ear.
That's right.
Being able to send us actually possibly relevant. It's actually going to be relevant when he sends us the note that Eric Chavez is going on the DL in about a week or two.
Right, exactly. But I'm amazed that Eric, I didn't even look at my
notes. On the note. He's on the second page. He's top of the
second page.
Yeah.
Good God, he has no fantasy relevance. He leads off the page. But now there's finally actual news about Eric Chavez. He's got a starting job.
I may have to go pick him up in the man's league.
Absolutely, he should be. Well, 14 team.
I'll tell you what, I'm in that NFBC 15 team, and I was talking to my partner Glenn yesterday, and he's like, "What about Chavez?" And I was like, "No." I mean, here's the thing: he hit 234 this spring, which spring stats don't matter, but he's been hitting 234 for about the last 4 years.
Right.
He's not a good player anymore.
Well, but here, it depends, though. It depends on how deep your league. Like, we're in that 20-team league.
Yeah.
You and I are in a 20-team
league.
I try him out. I picked him up. I managed to get him last night in the 20-team league. The other reason I did is because...
But how much did you pay for him? Because we use Fab in that league now.
Right. I want to say I might have paid $10 or something.
$200. Okay.
Yeah. And I might have paid $10 or $12 for him. Because here's the other thing is, the other big reason is, I lost Berkman in that league, and I don't have a third. The only third baseman I have is Troy Gloss,
right.
Not an Ironman. So the thing about Chavez is that he qualifies at third base in most leagues.
Yeah.
So it being a shallow position, he's going to play every day, you know.
He's going to play every day for a very short period of time would be my guess. I mean, they've got some good young players not on the team, Eric Patterson, Chris Carter,
Taylor,
et cetera, Michael Taylor. Yeah, so, you know, most of those guys had bad springs, and so did Jake Fox for that matter.
Yeah.
So anyway, Cust probably won't have any value anywhere else because probably no other team will appreciate what he does well more than
right.
the A's.
Right.
So, and then as far as Chris being out, they've got Ryan Sweeney and they've got actually Travis Buck in a start on opening day. But, you know, Buck had four homers this spring, but I don't know. It's been a while since he looked like anything.
Yeah.
You buying it?
No.
No.
But then again, I'm buying Eric Chavez for, you know, a couple of bucks, so what do I know?
John Bowker, Matthew, who I talked about this spring.
Your buddy.
And that
good
actually
call
came
by
from
you.
Glenn. That one I actually picked up from my boy Glenn. Beats out Nick Schierholz, starting right fielder for the Giants, at least for opening day. I mean, it was more he was named the starter for opening day than, like, he's going to be the everyday guy.
But nonetheless, the guy raked in spring training.
Yep.
And, you know...
He can play first base if they're not happy with Aubrey Huff. And, you know, Bochy said they're going to play Schierholz. Oh, you were partying this weekend.
Yeah.
Donovan McNabb must do that to you.
Oh, my God, I'm so happy.
What were we talking about, John Bowker? Oh, Schierholz, you know, Andres Torres, all those guys going to play. But Bowker's pretty interesting. If you're still out there in an NL-only league, like, I think I paid $2 for him in tout. He was reserve in labor. If you're you are in an NL-only league.
Yeah. I'll probably go up to 5 or 6 on him.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think he'd certainly have to be in the range of the other sort of, you know, he's not going to be in the range of a Seth Smith.
No.
But as far as of the other, like, sort of starter, sort of not, you know, platoon guys that have some upside, he's right in the mix with those guys.
I agree.
All right.
Rather have him than, like, say, a guy like Melky Cabrera.
I would agree with that. What about Matt Diaz?
I think I'd rather have him than Matt Diaz, too.
I agree with that as well. Anything else jump out at you over the weekend, Matthew?
From the weekend.
Hank Blaylock eventually relented and said he is going to go to AAA. There had been some speculation that maybe he wouldn't there for the Rays.
Kazmir on the DL. And Mike, I thought this was interesting just for deeper leagues. Mike Leake, named the fifth starter for Cincinnati, because he beat out Aroldis Chapman and Travis Wood.
Right.
Who's a very highly touted minor leaguer.
Leake was like the 8th overall pick of last year's draft, so he's coming straight to the majors. 10 strikeouts, 4 walks, and 18 innings this spring. Hey, you know, it's a bad park rookie.
Right.
I'd have trouble getting, unless it's a keeper league, I don't think it'd be bidding at all.
I think it's interesting. In an NL-only league, you wouldn't?
No, not unless it was a keeper league. I think he's probably going to get beat up pretty good.
Maybe. Maybe. I thought he was an interesting guy for a deeper NL-only league.
Interesting, but I just, you know. Like, bad park.
Yeah.
Suspect bullpen there.
True.
I don't think I can get behind it.
Dame out. Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
Yeah, I said it before, and I'm going to say it again.
Fantasy Focus at ESPNRadio.com.
I find it a little weird I have to ask twice.
Burr.
By the way, there's no crappy promo today, but I'm sure you can get all the great coverage you need on last night's game on ESPNNewYork.com as well as ESPNBoston.com. See, that'll make the wise and sage like Mark Horion happy.
Yes, it
Maybe I'll put a little extra in my Christmas stocking this year.
Listen, maybe we'll get a little bit of promotion.
Jeff in South Carolina says, go Green Wave. Hey, guys and girly man. Saint
that
A
can
kid.
Only be you, yeah.
Yeah, he's talking about me. That's unfortunate.
I
need some second-rate fantasy help from you uninspired fantasy monkeys.
That's us.
I'm in a 20-team keeper league. I had Elijah Dukes and Jack Cust as my fourth and fifth outfielders. that's unfortunate, my friend.
Yeah, who's calling who second-rate now?
Yeah. And who's calling who girly? Never mind. Since those are no longer options, I have Sean Rodriguez and Willie Taveras plugged in. Just want to throw out a couple names, see if they have any benefit from my team. Jim Edmonds, Gary Matthews Jr., who's apparently going to start today for the Mets.
Just because he has to start for the Mets doesn't mean he should start for you.
Willie Bloomquist, Fernando Tatis, who could also be starting for the Mets. I'm not sure.
Bloomquist is in the starting lineup for the Royals, yeah. By the way.
And where is he playing?
Where did I see that note? I just saw Bloomquist in the starting. I get these text alerts. And
what's up, Pod?
He's playing third base.
He's playing third. That could be because
Alberto
Carrasco is a little banged up.
A little banged up.
All right, and Ryan Church. All right, first of all, I mean, you know, Edmonds looks like he's going to be their fourth outfielder over Garrett and maybe part-time starter with as bad as Corey Hart has been.
I think Tatis is interesting.
I don't think any of those guys are better than Edmonds, but I think Tatis is probably better than Willie Taveras.
Unless
you really
need
speed.
Right.
I mean, it looks like Taveras might be in a platoon with Willie Harris for now.
Uh-huh.
But they might be in the market for Jermaine Dye. There were a bunch of other names thrown out.
Right.
Rumors thrown out about them.
Yeah.
All right. So we think Tatis?
Yes, I would say Tatis.
Okay. Josh in Leominster. I thought it was Leominster, but Leominster. He says you got it wrong last time.
Okay.
Massachusetts. Says, guys, I was listening to the show when you were talking about Jamie's board bet. You didn't want to put who wins your board on the board. This actually gave me an idea. You should put it on the board, only take each other. In other words, I would predict you to win the board. You would predict me. He says, this way, one of three things can happen. If the loser loses by a lot, then he has some solace in the fact that he won the last board bet. If it's a draw, as it was last year, then the bet is a draw. No harm, no foul. But if one of you win by one, then you could create a paradox and destroy the universe, thus making you truly the worst podcast ever.
Hmm.
Because if I beat you by one in all the other wagers,
right.
But the final wager
is that I predicted you to win the board, so I would win one.
But it's sort of like which one counts?
Right,
it's not really tied unless that last one counts.
Right, and then if I've won that, have I lost that board bet saying you won the board?
Exactly.
Because
it's like a never-ending paradox. I think the universe would be destroyed, and it's best that we just move on.
Yeah.
Chris from Michigan says, 5x5 Roto Keeper League won't bring up the other rosters. Which side of the trade would you rather have? Team A gets Pujols, Ibanez, and Dan Heron. Team B gets Maurer, Reynolds, and Beckett.
Maurer, Reynolds, and Beckett, or
Pujols, Ibanez, and Heron. I would say Team A, not as close as it looks.
Yeah, Pujols, yeah.
You know, Heron, definitely better than Beckett. You'd agree with that?
Certainly after last night.
I think it's closer than you probably do. I'd actually rather have Beckett. I believe Beckett
didn't rank Beckett ahead of Heron this year.
I had him pretty close.
Right.
Pujols obviously, you know, over
Pujols the clear cut number one.
Right.
Makes Pujols and Ibanez ever so slightly better than Maurer and Reynolds as a package.
I agree.
All right, so we agree there. Aaron in Norwood, Massachusetts says, go Mustangs. I'm going to buy a Dodgers custom player tee with Chad Billingsley's number and Buzzsaw as the name. But I'm wondering what the 06010 approved spelling would be. The limit for characters is 12. However, using all of them seems like overkill. Any help would be appreciated. Here's the picture attached of the shirt, Matthew. It's a nice looking shirt. It's one of those t-shirts that looks like a jersey.
Yep. I like it. Looks good.
But I don't know, how else would you spell Buzzsaw?
He's got you Buzzsaw. Yeah, that's how you spell it.
I mean, the only question is, do you
need
not
more
go
Z's.
With Buzzsaw and go with B and then like seven Z's? What, Pod Vader?
Yeah, that you need more Z's. That's what he's saying.
In Buzzsaw?
Yeah.
But we've never said Buzzsaw.
That's very true.
We've just said,
very true.
You know, we've just said
Buzzsaw.
Right, exactly. So I think you either go with Buzzsaw or you just go with B and a bunch of Z's.
Yes, either one is fine.
But I think Buzzsaw is the nickname we're trying to get to catch on.
Yep.
Do you think he knows that's where that nickname came from? Why haven't we had Chad Billingsley on the show yet?
Why are you looking at me?
Baseball players are very difficult to schedule, but we can attempt to.
They're very difficult to schedule. What with that busy 9:15 in the morning schedule they have?
Exactly.
Fair enough. Jason in Lakeland, Florida. 33809, but originally 46619.
Too many numbers.
Totally
no one
irrelevant.
Cares. No one cares. Stop with the numbers.
I've listened to the past 4 years through football and baseball podcasts. I've tried vehemently to get into man's leagues and also get questions answered. Every day I download, listen to you guys while I work out, and then by the end of the workout, I'm disappointed to not hear my question answered. But then while I worked out today, I heard you guys read Davey's question, who was a first-time emailer. I usually listen to you guys to get out of the boredom of the treadmill, but recently the casts have not kept my mind busy, and I continuously check to see how much time's left on the run. I'm convinced that answering one question for me will keep me motivated on the treadmill for another 4 years.
Okay.
I think it's our, you know, Matthew, there's a lot of, this country has a problem with obesity.
Yes.
Some might say we've contributed to this problem. This is our chance to fight back.
Right.
We can inspire, what's his name, Jason in Lakeland, Florida, right, to stay on the treadmill for four more years.
Right. Or, as I like to call it, not be like Pod Vader. Come on, Pod.
Wait a second. You're right up there with me, pal.
Stop it. No, I'm not.
Oh, yeah.
I'm 6'1".
In a 20-team head-to-head points league where speed is just as valuable as power, I have outfield trouble. Corey Hart's probably not going to be an everyday guy. Who will be a better option if Hart sits? Here's some guys on the waiver wire he's considering. Willie Harris, Felix P.A., Gary Matthews, Matt Joyce.
Felix P.A. is the guy that I like the most of that group.
Yeah.
I don't know that he's better than Corey Hart. Maybe a little bit more upside, but I don't know.
A little more upside. Not really any more secure in his playing time. No. I mean, if he gets off to a hot start, he can probably keep the job even after Reimold comes back.
Reimold's back, by the way, I believe.
Yeah, but I mean even right, after yeah, Reimold's like 100%.
Got it.
And they can just play them both by using the DH spot and whatever. But I mean, would you drop Corey Hart for PA in a 20-team head-to-head points league? I don't think I would.
A 20-team head-to-head points league. Yeah, I don't think I would either.
You know, he said speed's more power, is just as valuable as power, but PA has not exactly been a burner in his big league career. I mean, 512 career big league at-bats, 12 steals, 12 of 16.
Right.
It's not bad, but it's not.
But, and here's the thing. I guess to me, where the tiebreaker comes down to this. If Corey Hart hits, and obviously that's a big if, but if he hits, he's got the everyday job. If PA hits, I'm not convinced that he still has the everyday job because he's got a lot of competition there in that outfield.
Yeah,
I think it improves his chances. And Reimold has injury problems. So has Luke Scott. And then you got Markakis and Adam Jones there. Adam Jones has had injury issues too. So, you know, there's certainly opportunity for PA. I like him a lot, actually.
Right.
He's in my love list this year.
Yep.
But to me, I feel like, you know, that if it's narrow, but I probably would keep Hart too.
Well, I agree. Last question from Paul in Bowling Green says, hey, Fantasy Monkeys, now that spring training is done and 25-man rosters are set, can you give some tips on how to go about using FAB, free agent acquisition budget? My league switched from straight waivers to FAB this year.
Much better way to play.
I've been toiling in the lower third of my league. I can never seem to get the players I want unless I bid some ridiculous amount for them. Any suggestions on using my FAB dollars would be greatly appreciated. They might even help me get to the middle third of the league, which frankly is all I could hope for by listening to this podcast. Well, you got that right, Paul.
Actually, correct. Everyone has a different strategy. I personally am a spend it early kind of guy.
Okay.
I believe that I'd rather have a guy for the majority of the year than, wait until some, big stud comes up.
Right.
Now, it depends on how deep your league is. And, obviously, closers are always going to come into the league.
Well, and also if you're in an AL or NL only league, It's more viable to save money because you can have guys traded into the league. In a deep mixed league, other than a new closer, nothing's coming into the league.
Right.
If you're in a 15-team mixed league, the only thing coming into the league is maybe a guy, takes over a job, somebody gets hurt, but the chances of it being an elite player are minimal.
Well, but I'll give an example here,
okay,
right? I just recently, we had in Tout Wars.
Right.
We had our first waiver thing last night.
Okay.
So this is a 12-team AL-only league,
right,
with, I believe, 27-man rosters. It goes 23
plus
4-man
bunch. 23 plus 4, right?
Yeah, 27-man roster. So it goes pretty deep. And I bid a total of $19 of my $100 FAB budget last night.
Now, hang on, but we have to let people know that Tout Wars uses a Vickery method, which basically means if Matthew bids 8 and nobody else bid more than 2, he gets the guy for 3. So
no, that's not actually correct. They changed the rules this year. So if I bid 8...
They didn't change the rule in a way that changes what I just described.
Absolutely it does, because they changed the rule that if you bid less than $10, that's the bid. Meaning, so if you bid $8 and someone just bids 3, you're still stuck with 8. Anything in a single digit is that
I don't believe that's correct, but it really doesn't matter because the majority of our listeners aren't going to do that.
Right. Trust me, it's totally true. And then if it's $10, if it's a $10 or more bid, it stays at $10 or whatever, or the lower bid, whatever's higher. It actually goes to the.
If you bid more than 10, it's definitely true that if you bid more than 10, the least you can get a guy for is 10 bucks.
Right. At any rate, here were my bids.
Yep.
I got Dana Evelyn for 10 bucks. The Toronto starter. I got Doug Pfister, the Seattle starter, for $5. And I got Mitch Mayer, the Kansas City outfielder who's had a hot spring. And I have Rick Ankiel on this team too.
Okay.
For $4.
Right.
So, you know, like, that's a lot of money. I mean, that's, you know, almost 20% of my budget.
Right.
That I spent. But like, I'd rather take a gamble that one of those guys sticks. One or two of those guys sticks early on, right. Then wait. The Cliff Lees or Manny Ramirez's of the world, guys that switch leagues and have massive impacts,
right.
Are few and far between.
They're few and far between. They're enormously valuable when they do come. I think I agree. You have to decide if you're going to be a saver or a spender. Depends on the quality of your team, I think. I think the better your team, the smarter it is to spend early, fill your holes, because a lot of times you'll spend early and you'll spend a little bit of money and end up with actually a stud player for a whole year. You won't realize it. You'll be like, oh, maybe Mitch Mayer's worth a flyer, and then 500 at-bats later, you were better off getting him for six than saving your money to spend on Cliff Lee,
right.
You know, in mid-July or something like that. So,
correct. That's the thought. If one of those two starters pan out at all in an AL-only league,
yeah.
You know, I'm pretty psyched.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
So it's hard to answer in a vacuum. It depends on the depth of the league, the quality of the competition, AL, NL, too many factors. But I would say if you feel like you need to have a player for whatever reason, like let's say you draft one closer and your closer gets hurt and you say, I cannot win this league unless I have 30 saves from this position, then you spend whatever it takes to get that guy.
Right, and I'll give you another example. And the thing that I just did, the reason I got Mayer is because I didn't go high enough on Julio Lugo.
Right.
I bid $7 on Lugo, and Mike Schiano of MLB bid 10.
Yep.
And I probably should have, I thought about bidding 10, I thought that was a little bit much, but I have both Brian Roberts and Cesar Estures in this league.
Yep.
I probably should have gone 10. I should have tried to outbid him.
And I'll give you one more example. About
even though it's blind
six
bids.
Years ago, I was playing NFBC. It was a 15-team league. And by June 1st, Matthew, or May 1st, I was like, I got this league won. Like, the team was that good. Barring overwhelming injuries, I'm like, I got this league won. I'm going to try to compete for the overall. And the Florida Marlins closer, who I think was Mota, it was either Mota or Looper, got hurt. And he was only supposed to be out for like 3 to 4 weeks. And I bid 40%+ of my FAB budget on Todd Jones, because my philosophy was, I if it's 6-8 saves, I don't care. That locks me up with 2 or 3 extra, you know, points I need, whatever. And he ended up getting 40 saves. Whoever it was, Mota or Looper, never came back. And that happens.
Right.
So
you never know.
If you need a guy, bid whatever it takes. And if you don't need him, you know, if he's not really that much better than, like, let's say this week you're bidding and you're like, I kind of like Casey Kochman. He's available. But how much more do you like him than Lyle Overbay? And if it's not much, bid low on both guys, or all three guys, or whatever it is. And just get whichever one you can get for the cheapest, essentially.
Right. That was one of the reasons I went I went high in that 20-team league on Eric Chavez.
Right.
Because in a 20-team league, nothing comes into that league.
Right.
You know,
with the exception of the occasional closer.
Right.
There's not going to be any other value. All the top prospects were bought. Pedro Alvarez is owned. Logan Morrison's owned.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's just like, might as well. Here's a guy with a starting job in a 20-team league. You betcha.
I agree with you, Matthew. On that note, we're done for today. Keep those questions coming in. FantasyFocus@ESPNRadio.com.
Football pod coming this week.
Not too late to get into a baseball league, Matthew.
No, I'm doing another one this week.
They're still available in the live draft lobby.
Yeah.
So get in there if you want to try out a head-to-head league. You've never been in one before. Lots of different choices in the live draft lobby this year.
Yeah. So give it a shot. You do it retroactive, so it's not like you're going to miss.
Right. You can get that great Josh Beckett start from last night.
Indeed.
You can get Jacoby Ellsbury at a discount.
Something to think about. Or Sabathia or Beckett at a discount.
There you go. On that note, for Matthew Berry, Pod Vader, I am the Girly Man.
Peace out!
The theme song for the Fantasy Focus was created and performed by Eric Hutchinson. Check out more of his music at erichutchinson.com. Thank you for listening to the Fantasy Focus. For more baseball talk, be sure to check out Baseball Tonight, Monday through Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPNRadio.com.